trying to please man, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Good morning. What wonderful news Don shared. Isn't that wonderful? I there was a guy one time and was asked something about, do y'all ask me or do y'all do hallelujah in your church? And someone said, well, we don't, someone was trying to do that. Said, we don't do that here. We don't do hallelujah. I think this is the morning to do hallelujah, right? In the Bible, they emphasize when words are repeated three times, it's for emphasis. You know, holy, 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 and things like that. So this morning, as a congregation, let's say hallelujah three times, right? Hallelujah. 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 You know, let's talk about shouting to the Lord in the Old Testament. Shout to the Lord. I'm not sure what the shout was, but in Missouri, that would be, woo! Yeah! That's what the preacher did. Now, Don, we don't realize how much anxiety and concern that Don has for these financial matters and how much it affects his life. And you know, this has been a big deal and always concern and faith about us paying it off, but always concern. And I tell you, I'm not sure Don has slept very much over the last few days. I know Thursday night when he first found out about the news, he was so excited and he told me it was difficult to go to sleep. And I know that it's just meant a tremendous amount to him and the other elders. And what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. And I know that this morning we can praise God for it. And I have a few things I want us to say about it besides the hooping and hollering. First of all, I think as we reflect upon it, as we pause and think about this, there's some lessons for us. And the first thing we need to obviously do is we need to stop and praise God. In Habakkuk, the Bible says, look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. That verse was talking about God doing something with the Chaldeans and actually bringing on judgment. But what a very applicable verse for our situation. The first thought I had is, When Don called me and asked me to go with him to pick up the check, and by the way, Don was, this was top secret, and so he wanted the shock and awe factor for everybody, and I tell you, it was certainly that. But was this is unbelievable, unbelievable? If you had been told this, you wouldn't have believed it. It's unbelievable to think about God's working in such a providential way. When you think about going back, as Larry said, probably decades, and you think about someone who passed in 1998, and the will was, or the trust was set up the last time in 1993, declaring Seven in College, Seven Oaks, as the beneficiary. Hey, you go back to 1993, I was a junior in high school. Seventh in College was meeting and active, and at that time didn't have any thought about a new building and things of that nature, much less a new building with a additional annex upon it. Years later, almost from 1993, 32 years later. You think about that. God's providential working, seeing ahead of time. You think about us not being able to believe that and think about that. And then if you think about Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on all the earth. And that one of my verse, Bridges, can you bring that back up? That you may be known in all the earth, your saving power among all nations. For let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth.
Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. If you look at that psalm, it's speaking over and over again about praising God, and it's talking about God's blessings overflowing. And I think this is a very fitting psalm for us this morning and how God has blessed us. And the purpose of God's blessing, I think, is because of His saving power, and that His grace and His love may be known amongst all the nations. As Joel talked about how our contribution goes and blesses all nations, and it makes a difference in all parts of the world as we do mission work and all kinds of other services and ministries. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. This week in your personal prayer life, let me encourage you to make sure you pray about this. Give God thanks. Give God thanks. I told Amanda something about November because I believe it was November that we celebrated the paying off of this building. And now once again in November, we're celebrating and thankful for what has come about. Praise God. I believe that we can see the hand of God in this clearly. And God is giving us this gift. And we need to praise Him and be thankful for it. Praise God. It's not of ourselves. It's not anything we've deserved or earned. It's not for our boasting, but it's for His work and for His purpose. Praise God. But then, secondly, I would say as we reflect upon this, and this is what we've emphasized all throughout from building this first building to the second building, to our mission work efforts, to what we do in El Salvador, to what we did with the Hispanic ministry, to what we're trying to do now in various ministries and activities. What we always have to remember is nothing really happens. Nothing really happens until God's people step out in faith. And this shows that God is a rewarder of faith. When our elders chose to do this, they did not know. That's what the banker said. They said, "You mean y'all didn't know this lady? You didn't know you were getting this money? You didn't have any..." No, we had no idea. It wasn't like they said that, you know, we know that this money's out there and when someday we'll get it pretty soon, so we'll go ahead and build the building. No, nothing happens until God's people step out on faith. We have to live by faith. I think about Malachi chapter 3, where God is talking to the people there about robbing Him and giving. And He says, bring in the full tithe. And He says in verse number 10, "Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." God says, test me in this. Your shovel is never going to be bigger than my shovel. This is what God says. Your shovel is never going to be bigger than my shovel. Put me to the test. Test me and I will open up the windows of heaven. We have a lot of people here that give sacrificially and have given sacrificially. They put God to the test. And God abundantly answers overwhelmingly over and over with opening up windows of heaven. You see, nothing really happens until God's people step out in faith. I thought about Luke chapter 6. Boy, this verse really fits this occasion. Luke 6 verse 38. Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." I think it's interesting that the total was $367,000. And we owed $360,000. How God did it. It's almost like God applied this verse. It's all pressed down, it's all shaken, and you just got a little bit of the salt or sugar, as Jesus' illustration, just overflowing and still spilling. It's just a little bit extra God gave us. He's like, "Oh, I'm giving you everything to cover, and here's a little extra." $367,000. You see, Jesus says, "Give, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap." Running over will be put in your lap. Now, as you look about this and as you think about this, you can see this spiritually or physically. For the people that have stepped out on faith as they've given through the years, give sacrificially, It's a tremendous faith-building thing. For people of the world, or maybe people that haven't been involved physically and really giving their spiritual gifts to the Lord physically, money or talents or things. Well, I knew the money was going to come from somewhere. I'm glad I didn't give much. Might be the thought. Well, just some lady that decided to give the church some money. See, if you look at it through physical eyes, you could say, well, these things happen all the time. People leave their money. But if you look at it through spiritual eyes, through the eyes of faith, you see the hand of God working through dedicated Christians to bless generations yet in her future that she didn't even know about. And God bringing all that about in perfect timing to build the faith and to create a story, a testimony for the world. So I challenge you. You look at it through spiritual eyes or physical eyes. Because when I look at it, it is clearly not just Elizabeth Morris, a dedicated Christian lady, giving this, but it is the Lord God giving us this. You see, nothing really happens until God's people step out in faith. Our elders said they would not sacrifice and cut back on missions and ministries to build these buildings. Our elders put their own names and financial risk online when they built these buildings and they built this recent building. Nothing really happens until God's people step out in faith. Third, and I'll have four. The third one, as we think about God's provision. And I've already talked about the providence of God and how we see the providence of God and how it works. And I want you to think about Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where the Bible says in that famous passage, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. God has orchestrated and worked these things out for His good, for His purpose. Man cannot plan all these things, but God can. As we think about that, I want you to consider this lady. You know, most of us, and I think by far the majority of us, even her half-sister who did attend at Seventh College for years, a lot of the church now did not know her as she's been living in Northern Kentucky. And most of us don't know this lady. This is a name that didn't mean, I've been here for 12 years and it didn't mean anything to me. Don's been an elder here for almost since the church began, right? 35, 40 years, and it wasn't a name that meant anything to him. He was able to find out more about it through Miss Carolyn and some of the connections at Melbourne things. You think about this. God's providence in using someone that is not very well known to bless our church family. So many times we focus on the prominent or the influential, but I want you to know that the Simons of Caesarea, those who just carry their cross, the cross of Jesus, and do their part, are known in heaven. Here's this lady, and we talk about this from time to time, that this church and what we're doing in the cause of Christ is not about any one person. 50 years from now, even as you go back 30 years from now, 30 years before, she knew. People aren't going to remember me, and I'm not going to be important then. But what they're going to remember is the death of Jesus and the church that Jesus established. And so she gave and provided in a way for His church to be established. She recognized that her story was not the big story. The big story is Jesus. The big story is His kingdom and His church. And all you and I are bit players in that story. And 50 years from now, 100 years from now, nobody's going to know Josh Ketchum. But I can make a difference today in what I do so that they will be blessed and they will know about the story of Jesus. And this lady She got that. She got that the big story of this world is about Jesus. And she made sure that even though we don't know a lot about her, the big story gets the glory. And isn't that what our life's all about? Jesus, you know, as he was leaving this earth, he says, you know, I have come to glorify you, to glorify the Father. That's our job. We're like a candle that we want to burn as brightly as we can, but one day we're going to go out, but let's make sure we burn while we're here. And let the glory of God be seen in us. You know, you don't know what part you might could play, what part you might can play in God's story. And it may not be through money. It might be through your will. It might be through an estate. It might be through giving out. But it might be through talking to someone and converting someone to Jesus. It might be through your example. It might be through becoming a deacon or an elder as we go through that process. It might be through becoming a Bible class teacher. It might be all kinds of things. But you have a part to play. And it's not about you. It's about God. And then I want to close by thinking about our responsibility. You know, after I heard this news and talked to Don some about it, I couldn't help but think about how the Lord has great things in store for us. You know, I thought, you know, if God just did this and gave this to us without any of us knowing, then God is behind us. And God has great things in store, and that gives great responsibility. This is exciting, and we need to get excited, and we need to get refocused. We need to make sure each of us are refocused in our own faith, in our own contribution to the church, financially and with our talents and abilities and our service. We need to make sure that we do our part, because God is saying, I have a purpose, I have a desire for you. But you know what? It's up to us to still do it. It's up to us. We have to live out that responsibility. In Luke chapter 12, and I'll tell you what, I talked about Luke 6:38, but listen to Luke 12. Because I'll tell you, this is also frightening with this verse. And I know Don said some of these things in my conversations with him, and even as we talked to the trust department, that it makes us think about soberly our responsibility. Because listen to what the Bible says. Luke 12, verse 48. Halfway through the verse, I want to pick up. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. From him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. We've got tremendous ability. We've got tremendous opportunity. And what tremendous responsibility we have. We must continue to give and step out in faith. Do you realize that we were paying almost $1,000 a month interest currently on that $300,000+? We're going to save, and if you think about it, in our fifth Sunday contributions, we're running anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000 a time. We were probably going to have to financing this out was going to be anywhere from 5 to 10 years. We were going to have to pay on interest probably $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. You think about it, the interest savings. And you think about the opportunities. That's one of the first things Don said. We don't have to do the opportunities we have. We don't have to debt service in next year's budget. We can invest in more ministries and not pay interest. Isn't that wonderful? What an opportunity, but what responsibility that gives you and I. See, this isn't I don't have to give as much anymore. This is, I get to give more because God's shovel is always bigger than my shovel. And you can never outgive God. And God's got big things in store for us. So we got to get excited because we've got to do those big things because you're going to know what? God has a plan that's bigger than my plan and bigger than your plan. And his plan is to reach the lost. And so we've got responsibility. And so we must consider our own providential role in God's story. What part can we play? in God's story. Will you join us? Obey the Lord. That's our desire. If you're not a part of Seven Oaks, I want you to know that our desire is to be faithful to the Lord, to follow His Word as best we can, not add to it, not take away from it, to believe in Jesus, to repent of our sins, confess Christ as the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism, to have our sins washed away, and then to be faithful to Him, active in His church and building up His church, because, as Ephesians 3:21 says, all glory goes to Christ in His church. The glory goes to Christ in His church. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about any one individual. It's about the glory going to Christ in His church. And that's the legacy that you and I want to leave. That's the legacy that Miss Morris leaves. That it's about the church. And ultimately, when Jesus returns, everything else will be burned up, destroyed. What remains? And what lives in that eternal kingdom are His people, His church, that eternal kingdom. You see, let's keep our focus, and let's refocus, and let's do great things, because God has given us a tremendous opportunity and blessing. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you want to rededicate your life, then please come as together we stand and sing.
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How He